Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Stand up, give him a big round of applause. So great to have you, Pastor Roland.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mel. Take a seat, everyone. So good to be with you here today. When you were talking about double services coming up at Port Kennedy, I was dreaming. I thought, I can't wait for the day for double services in Cork. Come on, who can believe that with me? Yes, it will. It will come. It will come. It will come. It's so good to be here. This is actually going to be our last trip to Port Kennedy before we head off to Cork in 4 weeks' time, 4 weeks tomorrow, actually, which we're very excited to be doing. And I know a lot of you have journeyed with us along the way, and you know our journey. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yes, I'm very excited to be here this morning. And I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get into what God has placed on my heart to share with you guys. Cool? Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne. You have not moved. You never change and you don't move. In spite of everything that's gone on across the world, you are not surprised by the changes, Lord. You are on the throne. And we give you praise and glory and honor for that, Lord. And you are our rock, Lord. And we will not focus on what is going on with our natural eyes, but our focus is on you and you alone. And Lord, this morning as we get into your word, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us. Let hope arise within our hearts, Lord, as we gather around your word this morning in Jesus' glorious name. And everyone said, amen. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? It's been an interesting start to the year. I met a friend of mine that I haven't seen for a long time during the week, and I went to shake his hand, and he says, I don't do that. I said, fair enough. You know, I said, obviously, you're concerned about the coronavirus. And he said, no. He said, it's not the coronavirus that I'm worried about. He said, it's the lack of toilet paper. So he said, I don't shake anyone's hands. I said, okay, he's got a point. He's got a point, but it is interesting days, you know. But you know, I think we can focus on the wrong thing, and the media has a lot to answer for, and they only put out the bad stuff. And last night I was telling Leanne, I was reading an article, you know, 60,000 people have recovered from the coronavirus. 60,000 people. I haven't seen that anywhere in the media, but they'll focus on the, you know, the bad stuff. And this morning we were talking, and I was informed that, 10,000 people a year die from falling coconuts? 10,000 people. And the media, they don't focus on that. And if they did, they would bring us into fear about coconuts, you know. So, you know, it's amazing what the media and the power that it has. And so I just want to encourage you, have a balance. Yes, keep up to date with current affairs, but keep a balance, you know. God's word, as you know, balance it with what God's word says about the situations that we're facing. So keep a balance, and watch out for falling coconuts. Okay, that's enough of that. You know, as many of you know, that Leanne and myself, we are relocating to Ireland, Cork, in 4 weeks' time, as I already said. 4 weeks tomorrow, we're going to get on a plane and move to Ireland, which we're very excited about. But, you know, I know of many of you here. I don't know all of you, but for those that don't know me, we've been a small business owner for the past 20-odd years. And a couple of years ago, in 2017, actually, the Lord moved on our hearts to abandon everything here and move to Ireland and plant a Nations Cork campus. And at the end of 2018, 2019, we were all set to go, mentally prepared, physically prepared. We were set to go. And then all hell broke loose. You know, all hell broke loose. And we had problem after problem, delay after delay, obstacle after obstacle. And to be honest, 2019 when that closed, I was so glad to see the back of that year. I was like, I do not want to go back there. 2019 for us was probably one of the most difficult years that we've endured or been through. It was just, it really was a very, very difficult time, very difficult season. And, you know, when it comes to trials in our lives, one word that usually is at the forefront of our lips is why. Because trials are difficult and painful, we usually ask, why is this happening to me? Trials make us doubt what we believe because our desires are being tested. So have you ever found yourself in a trial and asking God why? The disciples certainly were. In John 16, reading from verse 1, it says, I've told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who will kill you think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have not known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. Drop down to verse 32, it says, but the time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. And this is the verse that I feel we need to focus on this morning. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Jesus doesn't say we might have trouble. He says you will have trouble. Likewise, when Jesus was teaching the disciples about building your house on the rock in Matthew chapter 7, he said, when the rain comes and when the wind blows, he doesn't say if the wind comes, if the wind blows. Jesus warned his disciples of coming opposition. In this world, you will have trouble, because he did not want them to be surprised and stumble when it comes. Everyone will experience some type of hardship or difficult season in their lives. Everyone. Storms are a part of life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. So whether you're in one now or maybe you're in the future, we should not be surprised when they come. We should not be surprised when trouble comes. And there's no quick fix. There's no quick fix we can do to keep troubles away, nor is there any amount of positive thinking or self-talk that will prevent us from going through hard times. While it may feel like we're the only ones going through our tough situation, we're not alone. Everyone experiences difficult seasons. Everyone. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble, because he did not want them to be surprised when it came. But more importantly, Jesus was teaching they didn't have to be discouraged or get into fear when trouble comes. Jesus taught us that we will have trouble. Life as a Christ follower isn't void of difficulty. Our world is fallen and broken with fallen and broken people who do fallen and broken things. Of course, there will be trials. People will do things that will affect us. We'll do things that will affect others and ourselves. We may not mean to, but our actions still cause pain in someone else's life, maybe even our own. You know, when you first read John chapter 16, you may find it a little discouraging. But when you take a closer look, it is in fact very encouraging. For a moment, let's read that verse. Let's look at that verse. And let's not focus on the you will have trouble part. Let's switch our focus on what Jesus said after that. Take heart. Take heart. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across here in that verse. Take heart. He doesn't want us to focus on the trouble part. We know that. We know we have trouble. There's not a person in here who doesn't go through a difficult season in their life. So we don't have to focus on you will have trouble. If you're a Christian here, you know, even though you're a Christian, you still have trouble. We don't have to focus on that part. That's not the part that Jesus wants us to focus on. He wants us to look at, take heart. Take heart.
We can find encouragement in what Jesus taught it. He said, you will have trouble. Trouble is a fact of life. But thankfully, he also said, we can take heart. What does it mean to take heart? If you look up the dictionary, take heart will have something like to be courageous, to regain one's strength, to regain one's courage. It will have take heart because help will arrive shortly and everything will be fine. That's what Jesus is saying. What Jesus was teaching his disciples is, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because help is on the way and everything will be fine. That's the point he's getting across to us. That's the point he's getting across. In this world you will have trouble. I love buts in the Bible. I love it. I love when God is speaking to us and he says a point, then he says, but take heart. But take heart. Why? Because he has overcome the world. We don't have to live discouraging in a discouraging world. We can still live a full, rich life knowing that in the end, we will be victorious. We will be victorious. What I'd like to share with you this morning, if you haven't picked it up already, is take heart. That's the title of my message. Take heart. That's what God is speaking to us this morning about. Take heart. Yes, there's stuff going on in our lives. Yes, there's stuff going on right across the world. But we don't have to get into fear. We can take heart. We can take heart. We can take heart. Jesus came to earth for one reason, mankind. That's you and me. He came to save us and offer us eternal life. But many people think that if we say yes to Jesus and accept him as our Lord and Savior, that trouble and difficult times will pass us by. That's simply not true. That is not true. That is not true. By me sharing this message with you this morning, it won't eliminate the challenges you're facing. But what I hope it will do is offer you some strength and courage to keep taking the next step. You don't have to take 20 steps today. Just take the next step. And tomorrow, take another one. And the day after, take another one. And keep going. And keep going. And keep going. By sharing this message this morning with you, I hope you will take heart. Now, one of the main truths that we must hold on to whenever we're going through a difficult season is this. We must understand and embrace just how much God loves us and how he will use our pain for his purpose. God will use our pain for his purpose. He loves you. Of course he loves you. Even though you're going through a difficult time, he still loves you. But he will use our pain for his purpose. He has got good plans for you and me. Even in and through our pain. I encourage you to keep going to see what they are. I encourage you to keep taking the next step and the next step. Just keep going until you see your miracle, until you see your breakthrough, until you see your victory. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Now, there's a few reasons we go through trials. One of them is consequences of choices. There's a harsh reality when it comes to choices. And that's the consequences that follow. Often our trials and hardships are a direct result of how others live their lives and how we live our lives. We can either suffer because of someone else's actions or our own. Some actions are sinful. And when they are, the consequences that follow are anything but good. Another reason we experience trials is spiritual attack. When it comes to the devil, our spiritual enemy, we either give him too much credit or too little credit. Every bad thing that happened to us is not his fault. Every bad thing that happened to us is not his fault. But we must understand that he does play a role in some of the difficult circumstances that we face. And sometimes when we face difficult situations, there's no reason. The reality is sometimes bad stuff just happens. Sometimes bad stuff happens to good people. There's no explanation, no reason. It just is. You don't want it. You didn't ask for it. But nonetheless, you have to respond to it. And it's hard and it's uncomfortable. Not everything has to have a reason. But remember, whether you're going through a whenever you're going through a difficult season, whether it's because of consequences of choices, spiritual attack, or just no explainable reason at all, remember this. God will use the challenging season in our lives for His good. He will use them. Romans 8:28, what a powerful verse. Many of you will know it. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. God says all things. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say some things. He says all. So if maybe you're going through a difficult season this morning, maybe it's because of consequences of choices that you bad choices you've made. Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. God will still use that situation you're going through for your good. For your good. It doesn't matter how you got there. Maybe someone else did so. Whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is God will use that situation, as bad as it is, for your good. For your good. For your good. As we go through these challenging seasons in our lives, we either grow through them or we don't. You know, I'm not going to judge you if you find yourself upset with God when the hard times come your way. We've all been there. But as we seek Him, we'll find Him. One way we can tell that our faith is maturing through trials is when our why question becomes a how question. When our why question becomes a and now question, what do I mean by that? Okay, at different times in 2019, as we were traveling through that very difficult year, I kept asking God, why? Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? You know, and I reminded Him, we're going there for the kingdom. We are relocating because You asked us to go. We are relocating to plant, I was just reminding Him, to plant the church. Just in case He forgot. So I was asking, Lord, because we're doing good stuff, why are these obstacles in the way? Why are these delays? Why? Why is there problem after problem? But as God did a work in me, my need to know why turned into a desire to surrender. Not what I want, You, Lord, but what You want. And my why questions turned into how. How are You going to use this in my life? How will You bring about good through this difficult situation? How will You use what I'm going through to impact others because of this trial? See, the focus came off me and went back on the Lord. My focus came off me and went back onto others. That's why one of the reasons God brings us through difficult times, so that our focus will get off ourselves and back on Him, back on those around us. Whenever we are facing a difficult situation, it's important to remember that God wastes nothing. That must be our absolute hope-filled truth. Whether we're thrown into unwanted, challenging circumstances, or maybe our choices led us there, God will use every single bit of it to redeem our lives, impact others, and receive glory. Do you know God can use your pain to change us? Take heart, He's going to change you. Regardless of how trials enter our lives, they can be used as a tool to strengthen and develop our character and our faith. When we go through times that test our faith and patience, we can either work with the trial and allow it to strengthen us, or we can keep fighting against us. What are we going to do? The choice is yours. It's incredibly difficult to allow hard times to refine us, but when we do, the finished product is a better, more godly version of ourselves. Trials help us grow and mature in God. You know, God is more interested in your maturity than your temporary. That is why He allows us to go through trials. He's more interested in your maturity than your happiness, than your temporary. When we suffer through fiery ordeals, most of us just want to get over it as soon as we can. But in order for us to be truly over it, we must go through it. We must push through the pain, addressing whatever is breaking our hearts in order to see healing on the other side. To quote Pastor Chrissy, she says, if you give up in the middle, you won't see a miracle at the end. Don't give up in the middle. Keep going. Keep taking the next step and the next step and the next step after that. If you give up in the middle, you won't see your miracle, your victory, your breakthrough on the other end. Don't give up in the middle. As we go through the storms in our lives, we will be stronger for it. When you go through the storms of life, remember God is working even when you don't see Him working. He is. Don't go by what you see in the natural. God is always working on our behalf. When you go through the storms of life, take heart. You are not alone. You are not alone. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar issued a decree that everyone must fall down and worship an image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused, so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Reading Daniel 3 from verse 19, it says, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire unarmed, and the 4th looks like a god. If you don't know the story, they're talking about Jesus here. This is Jesus in the Old Testament, the 4th man. Then, verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come out, come out here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not even touched, not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. What an incredible, incredible testimony. What an incredible story. They came out of the fire unharmed, not even smelling of smoke. That is amazing. And I think there's a couple of things in this story. But one is the only thing that got burnt were the ropes that bound them. The only things that got burnt was the ropes that burnt. God allows us to go through the fire to set us free from the things that bind us. What is binding you this morning? Is fear God a grip of your heart? God will allow you to go through the fire so that He can get rid of that fear. Burn, let you loose from that fear. That's the only thing. They were not harmed. Just the ropes that bound their hands. You know, we don't have to fear when we go through the fire because there's another in the fire with us. That's Jesus. There's another in the fire standing. We sing this every week. Well, not every week, but we sing this. Another in the fire standing next to me. Do you just sing it or do you believe it? This is why Jesus said, take heart. You don't have to face the difficult situation, the difficult seasons alone. Jesus is traveling through the storm, traveling through the fire with you. He will not allow you to be harmed. He will not allow you to be harmed. We can go through the fires of life and come out on the other side, not even smelling of smoke when we trust God. And not only does God use our pain to change us, He will use our pain to change others. Many of us endure challenges in our lives that give us experience that we're not going to get through any formal education. We may not have a degree from university, but we are experts in our field of pain. God sees this and considers us his vessels to help others. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 that he comforts us so we can comfort others. God doesn't allow us to encounter difficult times just to say we did it. No, his desire is that we take the comfort he gave us and as we walk through the valley, share that with others. We become vessels of change for others. We become vessels of encouragement for others. Romans 8:28 says, we've read it already, that in all things, God is working for good. Not in some things or a few things, but all things. God took the worst thing that could ever happen, Jesus dying on the cross, and used it for the greater good. The salvation of all mankind. God took the worst situation that could ever happen in our lifetime, and he turned it around for good, for the salvation of you and me. The greater the pain, the greater the opportunity there is for God's redemption to be displayed beautifully. With each redemptive story, God receives glory for how he has turned the tragedies in our lives into triumph. What can we do when we find ourselves going through a difficult season? Back in 2019, the year that I want to forget, the year that I never want to go back to, when we were facing trial after trial, delay after delay, problem after problem, a constant source of encouragement to me was this verse, Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. There's four steps to that verse. Don't worry, pray instead, tell God everything and praise him. And that's, I used that verse through that year. I still use it now. I've learned to not worry about the stuff that I should be worrying about, that the world will try and force me to worry about. I block that out. I am not going to be anxious about that, but I'm going to pray about it instead. Whatever comes up through my day, I'm not going to worry. I should be worrying. I'm going to pray about it, and I ask God to intervene. Don't worry, pray instead, and tell God everything, and praise him. Praise him in your pain. One of the most important things we can do in our pain is to worship God. He's worthy of our praise every day, not just when we're having a good day. In your trial, focus on God, not your pain. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. I might get the band back up to help me because I can't sing. We sung it earlier. I'm going to sing when? In the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. I'm going to make my praises known. Why is that so powerful? Because when we sing in the middle of the storm, that takes a lot of faith. That takes a huge step of faith. Because you're facing a difficult situation. You are facing a difficult situation. But you are choosing to worship God in spite of what you're facing. I'm going to sing, Lord. I'm going to sing from the bottom of my heart because I trust you to turn the situation around. It may look like it's not changing, but I'm going to sing and I'm going to get louder and louder and louder and louder until I see with my natural eyes the victory, the breakthrough, the miracle. We don't just give God glory and praise on the hilltop. We do it in the valley. We give God glory and praise before we get out of the trial or receive the outcome we desire. Raise a hallelujah. Can we do that, church? Raise a hallelujah. In the midst of the trial, you may only see weakness on your part, not the spiritual muscle you're growing or how strong you're getting. It's like going to the gym. Not that I go to the gym, but it's like, I've been told it's like going to the gym. Our son goes to the gym every day, so he's told me. It's like going to the gym. You do reps. You go there to get big and strong, and you do reps. Because it's in the reps, the repetition, the same thing over and over, that strength comes. It's not like you go to the gym one day and you walk out jacked. No, you do reps. It takes time. The same thing over and over and over. It's like us. That's what we need to do. Keep praying, keep praising, keep reading God's word, and you will see the promises of God in your life. We must keep our eyes focused on eternity. When we focus on what is seen, we're focusing on the temporary. It's the unseen, the way God is working behind the scenes that is eternal. God is accomplishing something in us, through us, for us. We must trust our Heavenly Father, and we must choose to be patient and see His perfect timeline. In His perfect timeline, it will come to pass. As a believer, you've been called into a life of victory. Keep in mind, there can't be a victory without a battle. You must not be afraid to enter the battle. The battle is going to take place, but so will the victory. So will the victory. That is what Jesus was teaching us when he said, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart. But take heart, I have conquered the world. Take heart, Jesus has provided victory for the believer. Victory is already ours. All we have to do is begin to walk in it. Let's stand to our feet. All we have to do is begin to walk in it.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.